Amen. How many of you want to live free and travel light? That's our theme. We are in part three. And this morning, we've talked about baggage in general. Last week, I forgot what we talked about last week. Oh, the baggage of guilt. Thank you. And then this week, we're talking about relational baggage. And so I'll start off with a little health quiz today. Is that okay? So how many of you in here have ever had a broken bone? Anybody in here ever had a broken bone? How many of you have had several broken bones? Anybody had several? Okay, who's had the most broken bones? How many had, Joe? Four. Anybody had more than four broken bones? Okay, so Joe wins the prize for the most broken bones. I broke my ankle in high school. That's the only broken bone I've ever had. I got run over by a hay wagon on a church hayride. Stepped off the wagon and turned, and the thing hit me, knocked me down, ran over my ankle, and missed most of my junior year of basketball. But anyway, how many of you ever had stitches? Anybody ever had stitches? Yep, I had stitches. Everybody's probably had stitches sometime. Anybody ever had a knife wound? Anybody ever had a knife wound? Not from a knife fight, but, you know, if you cut yourself with a knife, yeah, okay. That's probably a better way to say it. Yeah, now that I qualified it, yeah. I've never been in a gang fight or anything, no. Yeah. Okay. Anybody ever been shot? Nobody's ever been shot? Yeah. Huh? By a BB gun or something, you know. Okay. Was anybody wounded during the war? We got any veterans in here that were wounded during the war? Bruce was wounded, okay. And we honor all of our veterans. We appreciate their work. But, you know, wounds can go deep, and there's all different kinds of wounds. And this morning, we want to talk about probably arguably one of the deepest wounds that there is, and that's relational wounds. You remember relational wounds more than physical pain. You better have noticed that. You know, you can have just a broken bone and it'll heal up and go away, but a broken heart doesn't always go away. And those relational wounds run deep. And today we're talking about relational baggage. We've been talking about baggage, and we pick up baggage on our road, the journey of life, right? As we're running the race, we're doing a class on Sunday morning. You've seen the sign back there, Run for God. And we encourage anybody to come and be a part of that on Sunday morning. At the end of the 12 weeks, we're going to be running a 5K together. And the whole thing is called Run for God. We're talking about the spiritual running as well as physical running. We're running the race that God has laid out for us. We started last week, the first couple of weeks, with Hebrews 12:1 that says, lay aside every hindrance and every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us or ensnares us, and run the race with perseverance. Amen? We're called to run the race, and we pick up baggage through life, and I could pick up all this baggage and put it on and carry it around. And in the physical, it would look pretty funny for me to be carrying and trying to pick up that baggage and walk around and do all of the preaching and whatever with the baggage. But you know that spiritually, there are people that are walking around loaded, just like if we took that baggage and piled it on, and they're trying to balance it all and juggle it all, and God really wants them to live free and travel light. And we pick up relational baggage, and some carry it to their grave. Some carry that baggage to their grave. Maybe it comes from abuse. Maybe it came from criticism as a child, or ridicule, or rejection. A couple of weeks ago, we watched some of the videos from the Skit Guys. We're going to see one this morning. But you remember the one where the kids come to him, and he's supposed to be a little boy, and they say, you can't come help us build our treehouse. Well, why not? Because you're fat. The treehouse will fall. If you get up there, you're too fat. We all have wounds like that of things that people have spoken to us, things that kids said to us, things that maybe our parents or others said to us, and people on the schoolyard or wherever it was. And we tell our kids, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt. And it's a lie. It is a lie, because words wound deeply. Maybe it's so-called friends that have hurt us. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's just society in general. But the deepest wounds come from the ones that we love and the most and that know us the best, our families. Maybe from a parent, maybe our spouse, maybe a brother or a sister. Maybe it's our children, things that our kids have done or said. And everybody in this room has been hurt by somebody. Amen? Everybody. There isn't a single person in this room that you haven't been hurt by somebody. And most of the baggage of life that we carry around comes from people. Most of the baggage comes from what others have done to us. I remember when I was in the sixth grade, I went to a private school, didn't go to public school. But, you know, there were still bullies and there were still mean kids and there were still things that kids like to pick on you. And in those days, most of y'all, some of y'all my age may remember this, but they had, you remember when the button downs had the little tag that was back here? And you were not cool if your shirt had the little tag. If you had the tag, they called you the word that rhymes with tag. It starts with an F. Fag tag. And so you got a fag tag, and people would walk up behind you, and they'd yank your shirt. And I went home two or three times with torn shirts from kids standing in line, and they start calling you names. They call you fag. They call you queer. They call you all these. Because my mom shopped at JCPenney. She didn't go buy the expensive Ralph Lauren shirt that didn't have the little tag. You see how cruel kids can be to one another over stupid, stupid stuff. I didn't want to go to school. I did not want to go to school, and I would purposely make sure that I did not wear one of those shirts that my mother had bought for me, even though, oh, wear your nice new shirt. I'm not wearing that shirt, and I would have to wear it, and I'd want to sneak another shirt in my backpack or something to put on when I just so I didn't get made fun of in the school line. And everybody in here knows what I'm talking about. Somebody at some point has hurt you. Somebody has said something to you, whether it was at elementary school, junior high, whether it's now. Maybe you have a spouse. Maybe you have somebody that ridicules you and runs you down. Somebody in your life that hurts you, and because of it, we pick up this baggage and we begin to believe and feel the wounds of those that are made in our life. We're going to look at a story in Scripture this morning. If you want to look at Genesis chapter 11, it'll come up on the screen. But it shows the power of a relational wound. And you'll see how the baggage piled on and ruined the journey. He's an unknown guy with a famous son. An unknown man with a famous son. He's the father of Abraham. And in Genesis 11, verse 27, it says this is the account of Terah. I'm planning on later on this year doing a series through the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. One of the things you need to understand about Genesis is when you go back to Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way through there, at different points it will say, this is the account of whatever. This is the account of creation. This is the account of Noah. This is the account of Adam. This is the account of, and we come to this man named Terah. I want you to see that the original call of God was not on Abraham, it was on Terah. This is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abraham, of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. So we see Terah. This is the account of Terah. He had three sons, Abram, who we know as Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Haran died prematurely, died there in the Ur of the Chaldees where God calls Terah from. And then you see God trying to move in Terah's life, trying to get him to the promised land. The original call was on Terah to leave and go to the promised land. Genesis 11:31, Terah took his son Abram His grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram. And together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. And Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. He comes to a place that is named the same name as the son who was stolen from him prematurely. And instead of following the call of God and continuing on to the land that God was going to show him, Terah puts it in neutral. And he idles for 205 years in this place that reminds him of his wound, that reminds him of his baggage. And he lives there until he dies. He never fulfills the call of God on his life. Why? Because of the wound of his son being taken from him, the relational baggage. And Terah was not able to move on. It reminded him of his baggage, reminded him of his pain, and he stops. He never moves on in life. He never runs the race. He never reached the place that God wanted to take him. And how many people are stuck in park? They've parked it right where they're at because of their pain, because of their baggage, because of their hurt. They're unable to move on, unwilling to move on, feel trapped, whatever it is. And God wants to set us free that we don't park it in Haran, the place of our pain, and stay there, but we move on and we continue to pick up, let go of the baggage, and move forward in the race. Hallelujah. You see, when we carry that baggage around, the first thing it does is it keeps us from our potential. Baggage will keep you from your potential. God has a destiny for each of you. God has a potential for each of you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And He wants you to fulfill it. God is on the sidelines cheering us on. God is on the screaming our name. He's on the sideline saying, go, I love you. He's with us. He's running with us. He's given us everything we need to move forward. He's there calling out to us. And we get stuck in that place, unable to let go of the baggage, unwilling, whatever it is, and we never reach our full potential. Terah never reached his potential. He just stayed in Haran. We've got to let go of our baggage. You can never let the past define your future. We talked about it several times now. It's living life looking in the rearview mirror. You're living life looking in the rearview mirror. You've parked the car and you're looking at everything that's going on behind you. You're looking at your past. You're living in your past. You're letting your past define your future. And God says, I don't remember your past when you give it to me. When you confess that sin, when you confess that mistake, when you let go of that fault, when you lay down the baggage and you come to me and you let me forgive you. God says, I don't remember it anymore. It's as far as the east is from the west. I've thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness. The problem is, God doesn't remember it, but we do. And we've got to let go of our baggage if we want to reach our potential and move on. Come on, listen to me. When you're hurt, you're not very smart. Have you ever noticed that? When we're wounded, we're not too sharp, right? We don't make a lot of wise decisions when we're hurt, when we're wounded. Maybe we say some things that we didn't really want to say, but out of anger, we say them and we lose all reason. We think we're doing the right thing, but we don't have the judgment to know that we're doing the right thing because we're wounded. That's why you got to have other people in your life. Other people that are godly, that you trust. Other people that can speak into your life and encourage you and lift you up and keep you going in the race. People that you trust. People that will give you wise counsel. Psalm 73, verses 21 and 22 said, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. When you're in pain, you're senseless and ignorant. We don't see the forest for the trees. when we're in pain, when we're hurting, when we can't let go of the baggage. And God says, come on. Or David says, when my heart was grieved and my spirit was bitter. Some of you've got a root of bitterness, a root of unforgiveness, or a root of something that's holding on to you, tangled you up from your past. And God says, let go of it. Let go of the baggage so that you can reach your potential. The second thing that baggage does is it pollutes our other relationships. When you've got relational baggage, when you've got baggage from dealing with people in your life, and you're carrying that baggage around, it pollutes your other relationships. You ever notice that? You ever tried to minister to somebody, or maybe you've got a family member or a friend or somebody that you know, and they've been hurt by people, and you want to show them some love. You want to reach out to them and show them how much you love them, and you know that there's something somewhere has happened to this person that has polluted every relationship in their life, so they don't trust people. They put up walls. They hold people at arm's length. They don't get involved. They stand on the sidelines. Whatever it is. You see, Tara's decision to stop in Haran, the place of his pain, and not move forward affected his whole family. The whole family was there. Tara's decision affected his whole family. God waits until Tara dies, and the next chapter he had to separate. Before Tara dies, in the next chapter he has to separate Abram from his family. Tara was not going to move on in the call of God, and so God goes to his son and he calls Abraham to move on. Come on, Abraham, get up, leave your father, leave your house, and move on. See, the problem with relational baggage is it affects other people's trip. Our wounds get transferred to other people that are close to us. Have you ever noticed that? The wounds that we carry around begin to get off on other people. And they begin to pick up and carry our baggage or deal with our baggage. Let's watch this skit really quick. Israel, play that.
Sometimes we pick up baggage from people who love us dearly. They just don't realize that their words cut like a knife.
Son.
Hey, Dad.
What happened out there?
The ball slipped. The lights got in my eyes.
The lights got in your eyes?
Yeah.
You know that's what cost us the game, don't you?
Yeah.
The ball slipped. How many times have I gotten up in the morning before 5 a.m., before I go to work on the stuff with you, huh? There were scouts out there. You realize that?
Dad, the ball slipped.
The ball slipped.
It did. I mean, what do you want?
Hey, Coach. Huh? No. Butterfingers, yeah. We're going to work with them. Uh-huh. All right. See you later.
Are you crying?
No.
Well, don't. Pull it together. People are watching. I want you to grab your stuff. I'm going to go to the car, and I'll meet you there, all right?
Dad.
I'm just disappointed in you, all right? These were our dreams, right? Grab your stuff.
And our parents, they don't mean to hurt us. It's just they've got their own baggage. And when you don't deal with baggage, you pass it on. And for us, we have to learn to find our self-worth only in our relationship with Christ. And if we don't, we pick up more baggage. It gets uncomfortable, tedious. And our natural tendency is to want to dump this baggage onto someone else, but it always backfires.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
What are you doing in my room?
I just need to ask you a question.
What?
Can you give me and my friends a ride to school? It's cold and I don't want to ride my bike. What?
What? Are you really asking that?
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. Just give me a ride and some of my friends to school.
You need to understand something. Just because you and your loser friends are in high school now doesn't mean I'm going to give you a ride, okay? Because look at me. You need to understand that when people look at you, they see a freak, all right? And if they know that I'm related to you, if they know we're brothers, they're going to think I'm a freak too, okay? And I'm not okay with that. So here's the deal. I don't care how you get there. I don't care if you have to walk or crawl or whatever, but I'm not going to be a chauffeur for you and your loser friends, okay?
It's not my fault that Dad left. Why do you keep taking out on me?
Whatever.
No, you know I'm right.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You're not sorry. You're only sorry that I'm calling you out. I should ride my bike.
I said I was sorry.
I'll ride my bike.
Come on. And in the process of trying to dump our baggage on someone else, inevitably what happens is we pick up more baggage.
Inevitably what happens, we pick up more baggage. You ever tried to dump your baggage off on somebody else? Hebrews 12:15 from the Phillips translation says, a bitter spirit is not only bad in itself, but can also poison the lives of many others. See, when you've got a bitter spirit, when you're dealing with relational baggage, it will poison the lives of others. The first thing it does is it makes us defensive. We put up a wall around our heart. We don't want to ever let anybody hurt us again. Keep them on the outside. I won't let them in. If I never let anybody in again, then I'll never be hurt that way. And so we push people away. It makes us distant. We convince ourselves that it's better to be alone and then not share anything with anyone. We don't have friends. We push people away. We want to be alone. We want to have people leave us alone. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The third thing is it'll make you demanding. When you've got a bitter spirit, when you've got baggage from relationships, it makes you demanding. Have you ever noticed when people are insecure, they try to control everything? They want to control everybody's life, everybody around them, everything that's said, everything that happens. They're not a pleasant person to live with. They're controlling, and it's a symptom of fear and insecurity. They're fearful of letting go. They're fearful of letting anybody in. They're fearful of trusting again because they've been hurt, and there's fear and insecurity. And the most tragic result of relational baggage is that it destroys our relationship with God. Terah's never heard from again in the Bible. He's never heard from again. He lives in Haran and he dies. The call was on his life. We might be hearing about the God of Terah of Abraham and Isaac instead of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob if Terah hadn't stopped in the place of his pain. It destroyed his relationship with God. You see, what a lot of people don't realize is that the horizontal determines the vertical. If we're not right this way, we can't be right this way. Do you know that? Mark 11:25 says, when you're praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. In other words, Jesus is saying, don't talk to me until you deal with them. Until you go and talk to your brother or your sister that hurt you first. Leave your gift at the altar and go be reconciled to your brother or your sister first. Your horizontal determines the vertical. A man came to John Wesley one time and he said that another man has hurt me so much, I'll never forgive him. And Wesley said, then I hope you never sin. I hope you never sin, because the horizontal determines the vertical. If I'm unwilling to forgive my wife, then how is God going to forgive me? We forgive others because God has forgiven us. Doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter how bad they hurt us. We forgive them so that our sins can be forgiven. We don't want our relationship with God destroyed or hurt or lacking because of relational baggage. We can never refuse to forgive other people. Do you hear me this morning? That have hurt us. Listen, when you do that, you're burning a bridge that you have to walk across to get to heaven. I need to say that again. When you refuse to forgive someone that's hurt you, you're burning the bridge you have to walk across to get to heaven. The horizontal determines the vertical. Matthew 6, verses 12 and 14, Jesus said, pray this way, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's a dangerous prayer to pray. Because it's literally saying, Lord, forgive me the same way I forgive others. How good are we at forgiving others? Forgive us our debtors as we forgive those indebted to us. Lord, forgive me the same way I'm willing to forgive other people. It might change the way we view how quickly and how easily we should forgive those that hurt us. Are you hearing me this morning? Come on, here, let's talk about, and we've talked about relational baggage, where we pick it up, where it comes from. Let's talk about the healing process this morning, because God wants us to be healed of relational baggage, of hurts from relational baggage. How do we get free? Well, good news, God specializes in healing broken hearts. Aren't you thankful? Psalm 147:3 says he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. God wants to heal broken hearts. He wants to bind up wounds so that the baggage will fall off and we'll live free. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, we talked about this the first week. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish, everybody say it, strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You know, we keep baggage in our life. We talked about this the first week, but I've got to go over it again because there's new people. We pick up baggage and we keep it in our life because we believed a lie. You keep baggage in your life because you're believing the lie that you can handle what you're dealing with on your own. And it is what the Bible calls a stronghold. And a stronghold, by definition, is a prisoner locked by deception. That's what it means. A prisoner locked in by deception. We're locked in because we've believed a lie. We believed a lie that somebody told us that we can't, that we're not smart enough, or that we can never be good enough, or that we can never lose weight, or that we can never do that, or we can never do this, or whatever people have said, whatever people have spoken of us. We are trapped in that lie and we hold on to our baggage. We keep our baggage because it's all we know. We keep up the walls of baggage because if I keep the wall of baggage, then I can't let anybody ever close enough to hurt me again. We believed a lie. We're living life by something that is not true. So how do we expose the lie? How do we expose the lie? Well, number one, you've got to reveal the hurt. You need to reveal the hurt. You're never going to get healed by keeping it all bottled up inside. You've got to reveal it. You've got to let it go. You've got to learn to be transparent. Pour out your heart not only to God, but you need to find another person that you can pour your heart out to and be truthful about what you're dealing with. We say it this way, you got to know which priest to puke on. I know that's gross, but you got to know, you got to go up the food chain. Find somebody more mature than you. Find somebody older than you. Find somebody that knows the Word of God and has lived a godly life better than you. And that's a person that you can probably share some of your struggles with. You don't go to somebody that's a baby Christian. You don't go to somebody that's younger than you in the Lord. You don't go to somebody that's not a leader and start pouring out your dirty laundry. They can't handle it. You got to know which priest to puke on. You ever had somebody come up and they just start spilling all their guts to you, and you just feel dirty. You feel like you've just been barfed on. You know, it's just like, oh, you know, oh man, okay. You just want to, you want to be able to take a bath, but you can't. You, physically, you can't take a bath and get it off of you. You got to pray, and you know, you, and that's why you've got to go to somebody that's more mature than you when you begin to share your hurts and your struggles and the things that are going on in your life. But you've got to have somebody that you can be honest with and pour out your heart and let them pray for you. King David in the Bible talked about his own hurt and said in Psalm 32:3, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. There are people that are holding it in. They're holding the hurt in. They're keeping it all inside. What will people think of me if they know what I'm struggling with? What will people think of me if they know what's been done to me? What will people... And they hold it all inside. David said, when I did that, my bones wasted away through my groaning. You got to pour out your heart. Be honest with yourself. You got to be honest with yourself first. Then you got to be honest with God, and then be honest with at least one other person. You need to get in a small group. You need to get in a group of people that will love you and pray for you, that you can be a part of. We've got some small groups on Sunday morning. We've got some small groups that are going to be starting in some homes. Some people that are interested in leading a home group. You need to get in a small group with people that you trust, with people that can pray for you, people that can encourage you. Psalm 39:2 says, but when I was silent and still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. You've got to be in a place where you can share, where you can be open. Got the ladies group that meets on Monday night, Giggles. We've got the ladies Bible study that meets on Wednesday mornings. We've got the Sunday school class that meets on Sunday morning. We've got the young adult class that meets at Ken and Charities. We've got the youth group that meets Sunday morning and Wednesday nights. There's places for you to get involved and be with other people. Reveal the hurt. Number two, release the people involved. You hear me? Release the people that have hurt you. This is a hard one. Because we think by hanging on to that person, keeping them caged up, you put their picture on the wall and you throw darts at it every day. You've got their face on your punching bag. And it makes me feel so good. Smack, I just want to punch them in the nose. Just come on, just 5 seconds in the flesh, Lord. Just 5 seconds, please. Get that slap spirit all over you, right? Now, come on, you've got to release the people involved. You know, I've tried many times to come up with another solution, but there isn't one. You've got to release them. So many people refuse to forgive because they feel entitled. I'm entitled to hang on to this pain. I'm entitled to hold on to this hurt. I'm entitled. You're not entitled to anything. If you want it held against that person, then God's going to hold it against you. But if you think and believe that Jesus forgives us freely, then you have to forgive others freely. Let them go. It's like keeping that bird in the cage. You just got to open it and just let them fly away. They say that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Got to let them go. It's bondage. When you let them go, then it'll let go of you. You'll be free. The biggest lie ever is that revenge will make you feel better. Revenge won't make you feel better. Oh, it may momentarily, but in the long run, it will hurt you deeply. Most people believe that they don't get mad, they get even. You ever heard that? I don't get mad, I get even. No, that's not God's way. It's part of the American way of life, but it's not God's way. An advertisement said recently, get even with your enemy. Send them a cow chip by mail. I don't know. It was an ad. So get even. Huh? Send them a cow chip by mail. That's what it said. Anyway, so... I don't know, get even with them, right? Okay, I don't know. Listen, you got to release the people that hurt you. It was funny when I wrote it down, but it's not funny now. Okay. You know, if you don't release the person that's offended you, you're going to begin to resemble them. We become like whatever we focus on. And the same anger and hatred that we're putting towards that person, towards that thing, it gets off on us. And now we become the bitter, hateful, angry person. So the question is, where's the line? How long do I keep forgetting? How long do I keep forgiving? The answer is, as often as it happens. Peter came to Jesus in Matthew 18, and he said to Jesus, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother?" Now, the Jewish law said that you had to forgive somebody 3 times. So Peter thinks he's being a big spiritual guy, and he says, "Up to 7 times, Jesus?" And Jesus says, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. 70 times 7. Actually, I think what it says, 490 times. In other words, Jesus said, you've got to keep forgiving them. You just keep on forgiving. Peter thinks he's thrown out this huge number. The point is that you forgive them as long as it takes. Why? Because it's what we expect and need from God. How many times have you and I said, "I'm sorry for something that I've done. God, I'm sorry for my sin. God, I'm sorry that I've done that." And then we end up making a mistake. We end up failing and we do it again. When does God's love run out on us? I've asked God 1,000 times to forgive me for doing this thing. God, when is your grace going to dry up? When is your love going to run out? Jesus says, the same forgiveness that you want from God and that He gives graciously to those who ask, who repent, and who come to Him in humility, He says, we have to give it to others. Jesus modeled it for us, 1 Peter 2:23. When they hurled insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to the one who judges justly. We want revenge. We want to get back. And God says, all you need to do is entrust yourself to me, and I will mete out the vengeance when the time is right. I will deal with that situation. I will deal with that person. Listen, the greatest way that you can deal with situations in your life that where people have hurt you, where people have offended you, where something has deeply wounded you, is to realize that every attack of the enemy against your life is an attempt to derail you from your purpose. Every attack, everything that's come against your family, everything that's come against you was an attempt of the enemy to derail you from the purpose that God had for you. Troy, that's all that was an attempt by the devil to derail you and your family from the purposes that God had for you. And I'm not picking on you, but I know I had to say that. Whatever's gone on in your life, whatever it is, it was an attack of the enemy to keep you from your purpose. You've got a call on your life. You've got a call to raise your children. You've got a call to live a godly life. You've got a call to tell other people about Jesus. That's why you're here. And everything that has happened to you that has caused baggage, that has caused wounds, that has caused you to stop moving forward is an attempt of the enemy to derail you from the purposes of God in your life. And you've got to reveal the hurt. You've got to release the people that offended you. And number three, you've got to refocus on God's purpose and plan for your life. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, in prison. And suddenly he finds himself years later in the place of power, and his brothers come to him begging him for food for their families because they're starving from the famine. And now Joseph has the power to retaliate and take revenge against what his brothers did to him. But Joseph realized that everything that the enemy meant for evil, God had done and turned it around for good. And that God used it to put him in that place where his purpose could be fulfilled for that moment, to preserve his family, to set them in the place where they needed to be, that God's greatest moment of deliverance could come for his people 400 years later as he delivers them from slavery in Egypt. In Genesis 50, 19 and 20, Joseph said, "Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done." Come on, you got to drop your baggage this morning. You got to let it go. Whatever it is that you're holding on to, whatever bitterness you're holding on to, whatever unforgiveness you're holding on to, whatever has happened to you in your life, whatever somebody's done to you, maybe it's not even relational baggage this morning. Maybe it's guilt from something else. Maybe it's the past. Maybe it's sin. Whatever it is, God is saying, let go, live free, travel light. Job 11, 13 through 16. This is the last verses I'm going to read, and this is from the Good News Translation. It says, "Put your heart right. Reach out to God, then face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more." Hallelujah. Come on, that's where you need to live. Come on, let's all stand up. This is where you need to live. Put your heart right. Reach out to God this morning. The world, face the world again, firm and courageous. Your troubles will fade like floods from the past, remembered no more. And you know, I know there's people, go ahead, Israel, you can start some music. I know there's people that will say, but I'm still hurt. I'm still hurt. I don't know if I can forgive them. I don't know if I can let this go. Listen to me. That's why we need Jesus. Because we can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it. We have to rely on Him. Come on, just bow your heads. Close your eyes. Nobody looking around. This morning there are people that I know that you're dealing with baggage. Maybe it's relational baggage like we talked about this morning. Maybe it's other baggage and there's guilt, there's hurt, there's things that you want to be free from, but you don't know how to be free. You don't know if you can be free. And God says this morning He wants to set you free. Come on, if that's you, would you just slip up your hand? Wherever you're at, whatever you're dealing with, anybody else, just hold your hand up. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Several hands. Anybody else? Come on, you say, "I've got to let go of my baggage this morning. I want to live free. I want to be free from guilt. I want to be free from the hurt of relationships, the damage that's been done." Anybody else? Anybody else? You say, "I want to be free." Thank you. I see. Anybody else? Come on, if you slipped up your hand, I just want to ask you to come forward. We're going to pray for you this morning. We want to agree with you in prayer that God's going to set you free. Go ahead and come. If you held up your hand, don't be shy. Nobody's looking around. Nobody cares. We've all got baggage that we need to let go of. Come on, just step on out. Do you know this morning that this is for you? If our altar workers could come, help us pray. Ann, Sue, Dave, Pam, Ken. Come on, anybody else, you say, "I need to be free this morning." Pierre, come on over here. You can help us pray. I want to be free this morning. Come on, just hold your hands up to the Lord right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning. Father, that you're calling us to lay aside every weight, every hindrance, everything that would hold us back from serving you. Lord, we throw it down this morning. Lord, we reveal the hurt. We let go of the past. We're going to refocus our lives on you this morning, God. We release the people who have hurt us and offended us. Lord Jesus, touch your people this morning, God. Lord, release your power. Thank you. Come on, y'all, pray with them. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, let the baggage fall off this morning, Lord. Things from the past, hurts, pain, God. Lord, we lay it down at your feet this morning. Lord, release your people. Touch them this morning. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Turn it up, Chuck. Thank you, Lord. Come on, if you're in your seat, just stand and worship with us. Come on, just begin to worship God. Just begin to cry out to the Lord. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, God. Lord, we release that baggage to you. Oh, we've come to worship, Jesus. Lord, give us that place of freedom, Lord. Oh, release your power, God. Lord, let your anointing fall in this place, Jesus. Let your glory come down. Lord, set us free. Lord, we can't do it. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by your Spirit, Lord. Oh, touch us today, Jesus. Oh, this morning, Jesus. Let your freedom fill this place.